You're listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
July the 23rd, 2019. Christmas in July. Robert Mueller is coming. Mueller is coming. Mueller is coming. And in his bag, will he have great things for the Democrats? Or will he bring them lumps of coal? I'm telling you, the Democrats are so excited about this tomorrow. Bob Mueller, the special counsel into the Russian collusion, is going to testify about the things he had previously found and read to the media and said, that's it. I have nothing else to say. Everything I've said is in there. But the Democrats are insisting, we want more. We want more. We want to hear more. And quite honestly, some Republicans are anxiously biting at the bit as well. Say, you start answering questions, I got a few questions for you. He's going to appear in front of two different House committees 4 hours at a time with a dinner break in between or a lunch break. And probably if I were him, I'd want a couple of Jack on the Rocks, but he won't, obviously. And, of course, the noise has already started. It has started days ago. I mean, when it was first declared that Mueller was going to be testifying, CNN put up a time clock counting down. I mean, as if counting the days to Christmas, the days to a tragic explosion coming. Who knows? But here's something else that's going on already. There was a letter sent to Mueller by the Department of Justice telling him to keep your testimony, quote, within the boundaries of the public version of your Russian probe report. In other words, stick to the script. Well, immediately, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler, Democrat, called that incredibly arrogant. He said the Department of Justice is trying to instruct Mueller what to say. Incredibly arrogant. Well, today, Attorney General Bill Barr said the Justice Department sent him that letter because a member of Mueller's team asked that a letter be sent them, asked that we get a letter from the Department of Justice as to what we can say and what we should do, looking for guidance ahead of the meeting. But, of course, in the minds of the resist movement, it was arrogant and trying to tell him what to say. Quite honestly, some Republicans weren't too happy with that letter being given to him by whatever means and purpose it was sent originally, because they want him to get off that script. They want to dive into some, how did this all come to be? But the House Democrats also are launching an aggressive media campaign for tomorrow. They started it earlier today. Nancy Pelosi's office turning that 448-page report into a 6-page document highlighting what they consider the most damning findings. They title it Exposing the Truth. It's been already sent to Democrat lawmakers today to help reach out to their voters so members can have something to engage their constituency on what comes next and how do we hold this president accountable. We put all of this at their fingertips, said one House aide. In addition, Pelosi's office launching a social media blitz, planning to tweet more than 20 quotes from Mueller's report with the hashtag, retweet the report. Oh, they're salivating. They really are. Now, what if all this is done and there's nothing. Mueller cannot on the stand tomorrow say, I did hold something back. Trump is guilty of this and that and this. Of course, they're wanting him to simply say, he is guilty of something, right? Something, but maybe you were not able to pursue it because he's the president of the United States and guidelines from the Department of Justice said you couldn't. They want to hear that. You had to listen closely tomorrow to what Mueller says versus the comments from the Democrats. And you watch the Democrats. They are going to be grandstanding and showboating because some of them are running for White House. And the question is not simply da-da-da-da, yes or no, da-da-da-da, can you explain? It's a paragraph and two and three and four paragraphs before they finally get to the question because they get more TV time. That's what they're after. Here's what we've got coming up in the next 2 hours. The liberals now claiming and attacking children that if children are supporting Donald Trump, they're very much like the Hitler Youth. That's right. They're calling your children Nazis. And they don't have any problem whatsoever in doing that. And then we've got Congresswoman Tlaib, and she proposed, as you know, we pointed out yesterday, a $20 minimum wage. We're going to take a closer look at the impact of what that would mean. And national political conventions are big, big, big for cities. They want them. They bring in millions of dollars, thousands of tourists and guests and broadcast outlets, which are going to give a lot of great coverage to the city. Well, Charlotte is hosting the Republican convention, and they're afraid that Trump is going to be nominated at the convention. Well, of course he is. And they're thinking, how do we get out of it? Really? You want to turn your back on millions of dollars? You don't think your citizens would like to have that money in their community? We'll get into that. And also, do you know what female genital mutilation involves? We're going to spend some time on it because a member of Congress was flat out asked, are you against FGM? Are you against it? And the member of Congress responded, how dare you ask me that question? I don't have to answer that question. Who is it and why would she take that approach? Well, you'll hear a little bit later. And then the story of a race in the name of the Lord from a memorial marker for police officers killed in the line of duty. Why? Well, because somebody got offended. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate, and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Here is your red meat. Liberals claiming that teenagers supporting Trump are like the Hitler Youth. The Hitler Youth. Now, this dates back to 1922, basically. And it was the sole official youth organization in Germany. And partially, a paramilitary organization. It involved young people pledging their allegiance to Hitler, boys 14 to 18, and there was a younger group as well, aged 10 to 14. All the girls also had their group. They were called the League of German Girls, all still part of the Hitler Youth. And it included girls starting as young as 10, up to 18. What were they doing? Well, they're parading around. They're mimicking what they're told. marching in step, making themselves look really strong and powerful, when in fact many were just children. But they were doing what the Fuhrer wanted, without question, swearing an allegiance. And of course, some then went on to join the Nazi Party in full. With that in mind, comes an Ole Miss professor. I cannot believe an Ole Miss professor, out of what should be a conservative school, Ole Miss. Well, we can see where it's turning and turning. This University of Mississippi professor, James Thompson, is claiming and doubling down that pro-Trump teenagers are like the Hitler Youth. That's right. He said earlier this year, MAGA teens are a modern-day Hitler Youth. He got criticism over it. And now he's doubling down on it again. Said, I meant it then, I mean it now. Get a uniform and everything, telling the teens. He said, when I said MAGA teens are a modern-day Hitler Youth, I meant it. What we're watching at this rally is the aesthetics of fascism. You know, here we go again. If you don't like somebody, call them a name. If you can't call them racist, which you still could, because Hitler Youth certainly could fit that clarification. Homophobic, yeah, be the same thing. Then call them fascist. And yet the very ones who are using that label and throwing it around are the ones practicing fascist ideas. They're shutting down debate. They're shutting down dissension. No one can have a speech. No one can appear on campus unless they say what they want to hear, and that would be liberal thoughts only. Do not want to harm any ears. So if you don't got to speak liberal thoughts, then they're going to protest you and chase you off the campus. Now, does that sound more like a Hitler and a fascist attitude as opposed to an American? And, of course, the other libs are jumping in. They may not be targeting directly the teenagers, but you get the gist. Anyone associated with Trump has to be a racist, has to be a homophobe, had to be Islamophobic, has to be a fascist or a Nazi, a skinhead. And just today, the Washington Post columnist Robinson, appearing on MSNBC Morning Joe, and he would written a column comparing Germany in the early 30s to the U.S. in these days. He also threw in United Kingdom and Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who is going to be soon sworn in. Well, of course, the host Joe Scarborough asked Robinson, is this a time to, quote, sound the alarm on a Nazi uprise? Robinson said, the time has already passed, but the alarm now should be at full volume. Really. Again, Scarborough said, when is the time to start saying this looks like Germany in 1932, Germany 33? Is now the time to start asking the question? And the columnist said, the time to start sounding the alarm, a general alarm, was some time ago. People should be screaming now. The alarm should be at full volume. He concluded by talking about how things are going and changing, and he said, this is crazy, and it does not end well. There's someone else suggesting, by that wording, an overthrow, some violent action. Yesterday, it was a columnist for another newspaper talking about, if Trump wins again, I can't imagine what this country's going to do then, how it's going to be torn apart. And you get Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who still hopes to get somewhat closer to the White House and the Oval Office, coming up with these coming debates. He wants to get in. He wants to make his 2 cents available and push the buttons. And he's warning again of the rising threat of white nationalism, Nazis, skinheads. But here's where you have to say, what are you drinking? He told voters in Iowa, white nationalist violence has killed more people on American soil than any other source of terrorism. Well, first of all, the Civil War killed more on both sides, of course. Now, you take part of his sentence, say, than any source of terrorism, Civil War would not be terrorism directly, so he's trying to say white nationalist. He said, we got to name that, confront it, say it what it is. Now, is he talking about the Klan as terrorists? Yeah, they killed quite a few. But I have to also ask you, how many died on 9/11 when Muslim jihadists crashed planes into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and crashing a plane into a Pennsylvania farm field? Is he looking at any of that, or is he just kind of saying, you know, let's just say this? And, of course, who carried out the Pulse nightclub shooting? That was not skinheads. The San Bernardino shooting, Muslims. The Boston Marathon bombing, Muslims. The shooting at a military base in Fort Hood, Texas, again, not skinheads, Muslim. Again, that does not say that all Muslims are to be feared and treated as if they are the enemy. It's the jihadists that you have to worry about. The same you have to worry about even in the Christian organizations, those skinheads who want to preach Christ and kill people just because they're a different color. They are one and the same as a jihadist. But for Mayor Pete to just simply say white nationalism is the most deadly form of terrorism in the U.S., this guy, he's, you know, he came on strong, acting like he knew what he was doing. Now, the more he talks, the more he exposes himself. Oh, by the way, Congresswoman Omar, she's also accusing Trump of harboring inherent racism for years. She said, right now, even when we're talking about the president, people will say, you know, his remarks are racist. And we'll forget about the inherent racism that's always been part of him. And then she adds, racism distracts, racism destroys, racism can kill. She's right about all that, and it also applies to those using racist terms when there is no racism. I love quoting Congressman Lacey Clay of Missouri, St. Louis, when he chastised Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the other women in her group that they were calling Pelosi racist. He said, why are you doing that? That she is not a racist, and you playing the race card is the most stupid thing. If that's your biggest argument, then you don't have much of an argument. You can't back up your facts, but you always go the race card. He's right. I mean, that came from Congressman Lacey Clay. I don't know how much he's going to remember it sometime when he wants to call Trump racist, but he went after Ocasio-Cortez and her squad trying to protect Nancy Pelosi. Oh, and speaking of Trump saying, go back to where you came from, and of course, I'll repeat again, he was wrong factually. Three of the four were born in the States. The fourth, Omar, coming from Somalia when she was a young teen, then becoming a U.S. citizen, so she's also an American. But one of the squad members, Rashida Tlaib, also has called for Trump's deportation. Trump's deportation. During the 2016 campaign, she linked a story to Trump's call for a complete and shutdown of Muslims entering the U.S. after the 2015 San Bernardino terrorist attack. And I said then, you cannot ban folks just on the basis of religion. We need to have a better vetting process, but not just on the basis of religion. And she said, deport this a-hole. That's what she said, although she didn't say it in the way I did. She said it in a much more crude fashion. She said, deport him. And now she's saying, I'm not going anywhere. In fact, she said, I'm not going nowhere, not until I impeach this president. She also had to be yanked out of a Trump gathering on a campaign at one point. She's running through the hallway shouting, y'all crazy. Well, she's the one who looked crazy. Speaking of crazy, can we adopt a $20 minimum hourly wage many Democrats are trying to hold the line and turn the corner on some of these radical leftist ideas. Please stand by.
Story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has a doomsday clock running, saying we've got 12 years before we reach a point of no return. That's why we need to reach zero emission energy within 10 years. And that includes getting planes out of the sky and getting rid of farting cows. The Green New Deal. Democrat leadership now moving forward to reject that doomsday clock and her whole deal. They're coming up with a new proposal backed by Democrat leadership. And they're setting a goal as 2050, not 20 years. I mean, 20 years later than what she said. And the new proposal echoes some early criticisms of the Green New Deal. One member of Congress said, we can do any kind of whimsical thing, but we have to do this in a way that includes conversations. Earlier this year, Ocasio-Cortez said, there's no middle ground on climate change. You're either with me or you're against me. And so many at the time were saying, oh, I don't want to be against her. I'll go, you know, this woman is a rising star. I don't want to be burned. Well, she could be fizzing out a lot quicker. And Rashida Tlaib had come up with this yesterday, a $20 an hour minimum wage proposal. What I said then has been echoed by White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow. He said, you do that, you impose that, you're going to have millions of job losses among small businesses. Now, the Democrat-controlled House did pass a $15 federal minimum wage last week. It's not going to get past the GOP-controlled Senate. But beyond that, she's saying, go for $20. Let's do $20. Kudlow says, you're going to put a lot of people out of work. And you know what? You're out of work. What are you going to do? You probably end up being homeless. And look what is happening in California. These are staggering. San Francisco, seeing its homeless population in the last 2 years go up by 17%. And you see a lot of them on the streets of San Francisco, tent cities, defecating, urinating, wherever they want, and it's chasing tourists, residents, and businesses out of that area, which means they're closing up, people are losing their jobs, and now we got more homeless. It's not just San Francisco. It's the entire mindset of what's going on in that part of the world. San Mateo County, a rise of more than 20% of homelessness in 2 years. Santa Clara County, more than 31% increase in homelessness in 2 years. Alameda County, 42% in 2 years. See what's happening? In the city of Oakland, just the city of Oakland, not a county, the city of Oakland, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, the homelessness in the city of Oakland in the last 2 years going up 47%. And they want to bring all the illegals in. And they want the illegals to stay and everything. And they will provide them health care and health insurance and probably a room and college education and everything else. And they're ignoring their own citizens. And the Democrats think they're doing it right. Well, I'm glad they think they're doing it right, because they will come back to bite them in the butt. So a national political convention, that's a big plum to get for your city. But the city preparing for the GOP convention coming up is seeing nothing but the seed, the pit inside the peach. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You can wag your tail. I ain't
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Whenever a national political convention is on the horizon, cities are lining up, putting in their bids. Boy, you get one of those conventions, it is one of the biggest tourist events you can get. You're getting thousands coming into your city. And they will be spending millions and millions at hotels and restaurants and tourist locations and fairs and things of this nature. And the media will be in town showcasing your city, usually in the best light possible. Everybody wants one. Well, the Democrat National Convention coming up next year, July 13th through the 16th, will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And they can't wait. The Republican Party picked Charlotte for August 24th through the 27th, 2020. North Carolina City. And, of course, they did want it. I mean, if you don't want it, you don't put yourself in the running. They were in the running. So is Cleveland. So is Las Vegas. But they decided to take Charlotte. As I say, the Queen City. Take center stage as the Republican Party renominates President Trump and Vice President Pence. Now, they're expecting at least 35,000 minimum. But now they're having some second thoughts. Do we want them? Do we want them in here? Now, here on the other side of any convention, you've got cost. Security cost. Is the city going to make enough on the taxes, the revenue they collect during that time to cover additional security? Especially if a president is coming to the city. What about any infrastructure they might need to get ready? If not actual infrastructure, facade to make the city look better. How much money needs to be spent painting up this, closing that off, whatever. So the cameras won't capture a desperate city, but a glorious city. So there's a cost that comes with it as well. But that's not why Charlotte is having some second thoughts. Charlotte City Council, Charlotte, North Carolina City Council, has 9 voting members. 7. Let me correct that. They have 11 voting members. 9 are Democrats. There are 2 Republicans. And now those leaders, those Democrats, are trying to find out, can we get out of the agreement with the Republican National Committee so we don't have to host that damn thing next summer? Why? Is it going to cost them that much? I mean, is it they're worried about some security issue? What? Oh, no, it's not that. It's Donald Trump. Did they not know and understand that Trump was going to be the nominee when they accepted the deal? That was a year ago this month, it was announced. And, of course, they were fighting for it for a year and a half before that. And Trump was already in office doing things, and he was already under attack, but man, they want a convention. I'm sure they would prefer the Democrat convention, but they said, we'll go for the Republicans. I mean, it's going to be money, green, green, green. But now, when they suddenly, what they do, get woke and realize that the Republican convention is going to feature Donald Trump, and the Republican convention is going to renominate Donald Trump. And all the Trumpsters will be coming into Charlotte. Oh, my God. Trumpers everywhere. And to quote a former FBI agent, Stroke Smurf, whatever his name was, when he was writing to his fellow FBI agent, the attorney, Lisa Page, I was in a Walmart the other day, and the Trump people there, you could smell them. I could smell them. So I'm sure Charlotte is worried about the smell they're going to have if all these Trump supporters come to town. And, of course, they're calling the president racist and xenophobic. But look at what they're doing. So the resolution strongly condemns President Trump. They're looking at the resolution that when he said four Democrat congresswomen, collectively known as a squad, to go back where they came from. And remember, the Democrats in the House wrote that resolution just instantaneously. It took them days to write anything about one of those four women when she made anti-Semitic remarks, because they couldn't figure, well, how do we walk the line here and complain about her and write this resolution and protect ourselves at the same time? Oh, I know, we'll just link in everything. We're going to be against anything that is derogatory. And they didn't even name her or that event because it's one of their own. And it's a Muslim woman. And they don't dare cross that line. But now the city of Charlotte, what can we do to get out? The city attorney has been told to look into options in recent days. Find some way, a loophole, something. And he said, there's no legal option for us to back out. None. He said, there would be a pathway to exit the agreement if there's a breach of contract by one of the partners in the deal, but so far that hasn't happened. So the organizations that are a part of this agreement to hold the convention in Charlotte obviously include the Republican National Committee, the Charlotte 2020 Host Committee. Oh, I'm sure there are members on that thing, and I want off this thing. I don't want to be part of this. The Mecklenburg County Regional Visitors Authority and the City of Charlotte. And the city attorney is warning the city council, if you break this agreement with the RNC, you're going to suffer financial penalties and would likely be sued. A spokesman for the mayor said they want the attorney to continue to monitor if any of the parties do anything to breach the deal, so they can say, that's out, it's gone. Now, the city council voted last year. When they got it, they voted only 6-5. So it was already dissension. 6-5, but there are only two Republicans out of the 11 members. So obviously some of the Democrats at that time said, hey, I'll take the money. To hell with Trump, and I don't like him or anything else, but let's take the money and let's move forward. But now they've suddenly, oh, no. Now I got to ask you, if you're a business person in Charlotte and you're looking forward to this, I mean, you know this is going to be a bonanza for you and your business. You got a little bed and breakfast. You got a little coffee shop. You got an Uber service you're running around. You're thinking, I'm going to really make some money on this. Even if you are a hard line liberal, you're probably more fiscally conservative. And you'll say, I'll take the money, thank you. I might hold my nose so I don't smell them. But I'll go ahead and take the money. Listen, these folks are going to do what they want to do, and they're going to have to deal with the consequences. If they think they can simply walk away from this, that's not going to happen. Now, there were other cities also that the GOP did have difficulty getting any cities to line up and take the convention anyway. I told you, Cleveland, Vegas, and I forgot who else was in the running and kind of wanted it, but I mean, there were only three. That was it. Charlotte, Cleveland, Vegas. So there were not a lot of them lining up because they just didn't want to deal with it. That included Nashville and Philadelphia. And they're saying, well, it's a cost and everything else. But no, we know the real story, don't we? We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to tell you about our friend Andrew in Chicago, as he said he's got boots on the ground in San Francisco, and wait until you hear what is happening to San Francisco visitors and anyone else. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA, at LarryConnorsUSA.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of heart. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below.
Way down below, way down below.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And as I mentioned going into the break, Andrew, one of our loyal listeners out of Chicago, had sent me word about, he was in San Francisco. He said, boots on the ground in San Francisco. Let me tell you what's happening. And then he sent me the payment slips. He went to a business breakfast at a Denny's, And the bill totaled $55.73 for breakfast. It looks like there were two guests, Andrew and someone else, obviously. They put on their tap water, and 00. Thank goodness they're not charging for tap water. The omelet, $17.99. The French slam, $16.59. Another tap water, zero. Another tap water, zero. Big dinner coffee, $3.59. And the same the second time. But there's something else that's on the tab. SFMI, or I'm sorry, SFHI. It's hard to read it. $1.67. That's not the tip. The tax was $3.80. And Andrew, being a good guy, total subtotal was $43, put $8 and some odd on there, so close to 20% gratuity. But $1.67. Now, if you go to San Francisco, you're going to encounter the same thing. What is going on? What's that extra little thing? Well, there's an item that is posted near the cashier as you go out. Here is what it reads. A 4% surcharge will be applied to all checks. And, of course, they're talking about your meal ticket. To all checks to defray the cost of the San Francisco mandated health care ordinance. For more information, go to San Francisco Governor or govern.org, so forth and so on. So they're charging everybody that comes in San Francisco or a resident that decides to eat out at Denny's another 4% on everything to defray the cost of the San Francisco mandated health care ordinance. Well, San Francisco has a lot of people in the streets. They have a lot of health issues. They had to hire and actually create a poop patrol. Yes, that's what they called it. To go out on a routine basis to various areas where the homeless are living and gather up human feces and wash down urine on the sidewalk or on the fronts of homes if they decide to do it there or on the plate glass windows of some businesses, restaurants, whatever. Well, they got to pay for it. So what they're going to do to pay for it? Well, to pay for it, they're going to end up charging the citizens and those eating out. Going to be mostly tourists, but citizens, you eat out in your town, right? This is a new thing. And I would tell you, if you think it's going to stop at 4%, no. It's not going to stop. And if it's going on in San Francisco, I wonder how many other cities are going to start doing that. Just another way for money to go into the coffers of the city, as if they are going to properly handle it and as if they are properly going to apply it to the issue at hand, as opposed to just creating more layers of bureaucracy. And this city, along with others in California, has said to the illegals, come and live here. We are a sanctuary city. Come on in. And this city and others is offering to pay any legal defense funds for illegals if they need it. And also provide health care insurance. The entire state's doing that. The entire state of California has passed legislation signed by the governor to provide health care for illegals. And how are they paying for that? They're going to go back to the California citizens who are there legally and paying taxes. They're going to hit them with another tax that if they don't have health insurance, you're going to be taxed. So you see the irony? If you live in California and you don't have health insurance, they're going to tax you because you don't have health insurance. And they're going to take the tax money they get on that and give it to illegals so they have health insurance. And you? Oh, good luck with you. You're on your own. Unless you want to claim you're illegal or go live out in a tent somewhere. Maybe then they'll care about you more. So there you have it. The San Francisco mandated health tax. You must pay for it. You have to. Or we'll all crash into the sea. And it's only a matter of time of that. Just a matter of time. Message coming through on the text message line. Oh, this guy loves me. He loves me. And I thank you for it. Again, hashtag fire Larry Connors. You mean get me fired up? I'm fired up, baby. Thank you very much. You're doing a hell of a job. I love people like this. See, they sit off in their beanbag chair in mama's basement and write up these little things and think they are reigning over the world. If you have an issue with the program, show me some gonads and call in. I'll let you talk if you're civil. Won't be able to do it now, though, because we're coming up on a break. Here's what we have coming up in the next hour. This is a very tragic subject because it affects so many young girls who have no chance of escaping it, depending upon their religion. Female genital mutilation, FGM. It is mandated in numerous Muslim countries. And it can start with a child very young, one or two. Normally it's around 12 to 13, sometimes older. And there's one story of a young 12-year-old. It's a heartbreaking story to hear what happened to her. And it's all done because they say, this is what we should do. And you will like it. And one congresswoman serving currently in our Congress was asked about that. Do you support this? And she got incensed. How dare you ask me that question? Which means she does. And before we wrap this hour, the story of erasing the name of the Lord from a memorial marker for police officers killed in the line of duty because somebody got offended.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.